Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello, welcome. Thanks for coming by. Come on in. Grab a seat or stand, however you're most comfortable. Happy to have you here with me this hour for Speak Up, one of the public affairs and talk programs here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station way up here on Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast from the unceded and ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. I'm Jesse. You've probably met before. If not, thanks for coming. Today on the show, we are going to hear a bunch of different little talk pieces. We have a piece from our local journalism initiative journalist, Danny, about a pop-up event on urban accessibility here in Burnaby. We have a piece submitted by friend of the station, Stefan Christoph, about Vancouver Voices for Housing Justice. And some more stuff. We'll see. Depends how the show goes, but you can count on that at least. And a little bit of music to tie it all together. And we are going to start with music, as I like to do. And we're going to start with local music. Local-ish. Close to local. Snotty Nose Res Kids. From a little bit further up the coast, but still BC local, recently put out an album called Red Future, and the station has finally received its copy, its radio clean copy, so I can play it for you. And we're going to hear a track called Kaleidoscope featuring Travis Thompson. This is a real big crossover album for the Rez Kids, it seems like an opportunity for a big crossover. I mean, maybe mainstream success, who knows? Anyway, Kaleidoscope featuring Travis Thompson by Snotty Nose Res Kids.
Yeah, I see through kaleidoscopes. I've been in survival mode. Had to take the long way. Ain't no telling when I get home. Come and visit my world. What's happening? You should see all the dreams that I'm having. Ain't counting up sheep, I'm counting up salmon. Every dark night, no Batman. See the high while your tears that I'm passing. Tell me, is there anything different? You know how many here gone missing? And how come ain't nobody here listen? Damn, sweet grass on my dash. Still done the rap, but my tank been low. You ain't really been where I've been, bro. Cause your people aren't disposable. Damn, I come from a place where the curtains are blankets and nobody makes it, I know. Got a little bit of faith and a little bit of hope and stress, so I guess I'll smoke. Hey, zoning out and I'm dreaming. D&D in my phone for the rest of the evening while everybody else sleeping. So come see the world through my point of view. My vision go way beyond all of these mountains. Since I threw pennies out into the fountains, probably too many, but baby, who's counting? So I drift away, up and away I go, yeah, to a place where everything's fine. Whenever I'm at the end of my road, will I live to see the change? Where we all heal and where we all grow? Take a look, you'll never know. Through my kaleidoscope,
I see through kaleidoscopes. I've been in survival mode. Had to take the long way. Ain't no telling when I get home. Come and visit my world, yeah. Come and visit my world, yeah.
Hope dreams the stove. Yeah. It's a letter to the younger. That's you me. Just see it through when you shoot. Make sure you follow through. Yeah, read them to the doors. Let me talk my PU. But I refuse to lose. Yeah, that's just my point of view. Yeah, my face been in the dirt. I got written off at birth. Yo, my mama gave me a chance. She said, we gon' make this work. Hey, these gross birds could be the worst. Goddamn, sometimes life hurts. The truth hurts when unearthed. It could shake up your whole universe. Like, damn. Got a burst of energy. Accidentally said some rich. Ain't no crime of the century. Got a tendency to cry a bit. That crying shit ain't meant for me. I'll man up eventually. For now, be us meant to be. When I think
I get my second wind. And when I'm thinking generally, I'm thinking about my kin. And I don't pretend to be someone friendly, don't offend me. I'm a savage when it comes to it. I'm thankful critics.
I see through kaleidoscopes. I've been in survival mode. Had to take the long way. Ain't no telling when I get home. Come and visit my world. Little soldier, it's a world outside that he conquered. I'm like average height, I stand on the money, I stand on my ethic, I'm monster, didn't no sponsor, tryna cut back on my nonsense, shorty want back on my roster, got syndromes, never imposter, know what it cost him, put my life down, married to the game, no white gown, been right around Tensa, she a art piece, leave through the gift shop, in the bank, see you might've just missed us, see you pay for a snatch, made a diss song, big fish, cross pond, get your chips up, I share my bow with sick puffs, don't care who know, I'm f***ing fair with it, everywhere I'm tinted, boulevard to the parents, tripping in the parent vision, I won't sway. Yeah. Ain't much that I won't say. Do re, me gon' sing my praise until I'm gone. I see everything in color form. Yeah. No telling what I'm on. I see through kaleidoscopes. I've been in survival mode. Had to take the long way. Ain't no telling when I get home. Come and visit my world. Yeah. Come and visit my world. Yeah. I see through kaleidoscopes. I've been in survival mode. Had to take the long way. Ain't no telling when I get home. Come visit my world.
Yo, come and visit.
Come and visit my world.
So you can see my world.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That was Snotty Nose Res Kids featuring Travis Thompson with a track called Kaleidoscope from their new record Red Future, which is out now and is great. So check it out. And now we're going to hear from CJSF's very own Danny with a segment produced for the Local Journalism Initiative.
A video station, a photo board display, an interactive board game. These were just a few of the items on the agenda at the Urban Accessibility Promoting Inclusive Environments experiential pop-up event. An event that invited community members to engage with cutting-edge research regarding the ways in which we can create more accessible and inclusive cities for community members with mobility, sensory, and cognitive disabilities. Taking place on October 18th at the Bonsor Recreation Complex in Burnaby, this event was arranged by the Mobility Access and Participation Project, the Stakeholders Walkability and Wheelability Audit in Neighborhoods Project, Project Sidewalk, and the Demscape Project. In collaboration, these projects work to enhance mobility and accessibility for individuals with mobility, sensory, and cognitive disabilities. For those that attended the event, it served as an opportunity to learn, engage, and actively participate in creating a more accessible and inclusive city. By the end of the event, participants were able to gain insights into the lived experiences of individuals with disabilities, learning about research findings on accessibility, and being able to contribute their own feedback. CJSF attended this event and was able to speak with some of the SFU research team members and SFU Gerontology master's students involved with these projects. We were able to get some further insight from Jean, a master's student with the SFU Department of Gerontology who is also involved with the MAP project. This is what he had to say. What's, I guess, the biggest takeaway that you want people that attend this event to leave with? You know, people that may not have considered how to make their cities more accessible beforehand.
That's the biggest takeaway. You just said it. I, for people that don't have disabilities or mobility issues or visual impairments or cognitive impairments, you never realize that there are some stuff that are not accessible at all. Like you walk to your city, no problems. If there's like a little bump in the road, you can easily dodge it and you keep going and you don't think about it. Or if there's a puddle or if there's some branches on the floor or if there's a curb ramp that's pointing to the middle of the intersection and not to the other sidewalk, those things don't usually face you because you don't have any disability, you don't have any mobility issue. So you don't realize how important it is for people that do have those issues to have accessible features everywhere, you know, like the elevator. Make sure you have an accessible button when you go to a place, the entrance of a building. So that's the biggest takeaway, you know, and the things about these forums and projects is to raise awareness that some people don't have it as easy as you, and things that are tiny for you, you need to get into their mindset, and you need to see things in their perspective, that a tiny thing for you, a tiny obstacle that you won't think about for the rest of the day, can definitely, you know, give them a big trouble, you know, stop them from getting to where they want to go and stop them from moving around the city.
We were also able to speak with Sarah, a Master of Public Health student at SFU and a new research assistant for the MAPSWAM project at the SFU Gerontology Department. This is what she had to say about the MAPSWAM project and the event.
Definitely. So the MAPSWAM project aims to kind of explore the barriers that disabled people and older adults can face when navigating the built environment in the city of Burnaby. And we're also looking at the city of Vancouver as of recently.
That's awesome. And what is, I guess, the public response been to this project and the work that you've been doing?
Yeah, so to be honest, we're actually at the fourth phase of our research initiative where we're looking to let the public know of what we found in the research, which is that barriers can cause people to maybe not go out in the city as much and just kind of not access a lot of resources because they're limited by the built-in environment. And we're just trying to get that word across, and the response has been really great. So on social media, we've been getting a lot of engagement, and whenever we do host these community forums, a lot of people come out and support the cause. People with lived experiences tend to come out, play the games, participate, community stakeholders, people from the city, urban planners. So it's really like an interdisciplinary collaboration between many different organizations across the city. And yeah, we're very proud of the amount of engagement we've gotten on the project so far.
Lastly, we spoke briefly with Atia Mahmood, the principal investigator for the MAPSWAM project and Project Sidewalk, as well as a professor for the Department of Gerontology at Simon Fraser University. Here's what she had to say about what she wanted the biggest takeaway to be for attendees of the event.
So for me, the biggest takeaway would be raising awareness around the issue that people of different abilities and ages have unique needs, but there's also overlapping needs. And if people are more aware, and if the city works with people from the get-go with different abilities, then we can have a much more inclusive city that allows for mobility, access, and participation.
Once again, this has been Danny, your community radio journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And this piece was made possible by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thanks to Danny and to the Local Journalism Initiative for that story and that update on a cool community event happening here in Burnaby. This is Jesse on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll have more talk in a minute, but let's listen to some music. King Bob is a band from Victoria, British Columbia, fronted by the host of a podcast, the most left-leaning Vancouver Canucks hockey podcast, Roxy Fever, which is what drew me to listening to King Bob's new release, which is called Rookie. And what got me to stick around and play it on this show is that it rules. It's very good, cool power pop punk, pop rock, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, is from Jackson's perspective as a worker, a service industry worker, and who is aging and just recognizing the difficulties of life. So this track is a bit of a retrospective at what he saw as the foolish decision to go to college. Not for everyone, not for Jackson. This is Wino Goes to College.
It was early. That was 3.
Goes to College by King Bob from the new record Rookie, out now. Check it out on Bandcamp and other places that you get music. This is Jesse here on Speak Up, CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. And up next, we're going to hear a story submitted by Stefan Christoff about an event called Vancouver Voices for Housing Justice. So we'll get into that right now.
Good day. You're tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in the greater Vancouver area. My name is Stefan Christoff. I am based in Montreal, Geogiagi, Munyang, a traditional gathering place for many Indigenous communities and nations. And I have prepared a report for CJSF that looks at the struggles of communities in Vancouver that are facing the housing crisis. This includes low-income communities, artists, Indigenous peoples, newly arrived migrants, and many others. The realities of the housing crisis are coast to coast to coast. I had the opportunity to join an event at Spartacus Books, which shared a report on housing justice that has brought together around 60 organizations, groups, and collectives across Quebec and Canada that are focused on organizing around the housing crisis. You can find that report at solidarityeconomy.ca. And I got the chance to speak with some housing activists in Vancouver. I'm sharing this series of recordings with you of those voices. I spoke with Maria Gillis of the Vancouver Tenants Union, filmmaker MTS Popat, who speaks about the ways that gentrification and the housing crisis is displacing socially engaged artists and filmmakers, and Lena, who is a community worker at the Downtown Eastside Women's Center. And this was recorded on the main at Spartacus Books, and I'm happy to share this series of short interviews with you on CJSF 90.1 FM in the greater Vancouver area. Of course, broadcasting out of Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, BC. In Montreal, I host a weekly community radio program that's called Free City Radio that broadcasts on a network of 7 campus community stations in Canada. You can look it up. Just search Free City Radio on the major platforms. Our archives are at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. I'm really happy to share this series of interviews with you on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Stefan Christoph, and I look forward to speaking with you again. Take care.
Yeah, my name is Mariah. I'm a member volunteer with the Vancouver Tenants Union. And, you know, I really feel like we're on the cusp of something completely new. I was talking to an organizer friend in Victoria. He was expressing some hesitancy about, you know, how to persuade people that, you know, organizing is, you know, worth it, right? You know, he's organizing a building, he's talking to the tenants there, and, you know, he's trying to persuade them to stick it out, get involved in organizing rather than just accept the peanuts that were offered to them by the landlord.
They were being evicted.
They're being evicted, dem evicted for like another tower that's going to be built in their spot. And so, you know, I was saying, well, you know, it's a hard sell for sure, because there's not really like a template or a blueprint that we're following necessarily. You know, the work that we're doing, we're just kind of figuring it out as we go. It's kind of like labor organizing in the 1890s, you know? There's no like legal framework that we're working in, right? Because in BC...
Explain that a bit more.
So in BC, tenants don't have collective bargaining rights. We don't have protection from landlord retaliation for collective bargaining, and that obviously makes people nervous, because, you know, you can be spuriously evicted for doing organizing, right? And so, yeah, that's a totally legit fear that people have, and I think, you know, we just have to say, like, we protect us, right?
Sure.
We'll be there for each other, and we will fight back. But, you know, the work that we're doing, tenant organizing, collective organizing, it hasn't really happened a lot in Canada. You know, even like, you know, in North America writ large, it's kind of having like a resurgent movement right now, right? There's a lot of new tenant unions popping up who are going for that kind of direct action, collective organizing over other tactics that have been used in the past, like political advocacy and, you know, other tactics, you know? And so we're just kind of building it as we go along, you know? And it's an exciting time, but it's also, you know, I wouldn't blame you for being nervous if it's your first time getting involved in this kind of stuff. But I would say that it's important because, you know, we're building something that could be amazing. And I really believe that it will be amazing.
Well, I mean, the first thing maybe I just want to underline, I really appreciate the parallel you're making to, like, labor organizing in the end of the 19th century. And I hope people can resonate with that a bit. Non-market housing solutions. I'm just throwing out that term. It's sort of jargony, but I think I'm also throwing it out because today, in the context of the housing crisis, most like political party forces are talking about solutions that are tied to market, right? Can you just talk about that? why that distinction is important?
For sure, yeah. I mean, we already are being held captive by the market, right? You know, the roof over my head is subject to my landlord's relationship with the market and whether he's getting enough out of it and therefore me, right? And, you know, any new solution that is just still relying on that same relationship is not really solving anything. You know, one of the things that we advocate for as VTU is, Vancouver Tenants Union, is, you know, full direct democratic control for tenants through co-op housing, for instance, you know. And that, I think, is the only way. Just, like, you have to, like, get past the landlord-tenant relationship, right? It's fundamentally exploitative. We don't want that anymore, you know? We have to dream of a better world.
Respect. Right on. Thank you, Maurice.
Yep, for sure.
We're in Vancouver. We're at Spartacus Books. And, you know, clearly, like, housing justice is a struggle that touches so many people and so many communities. Maybe you could mention for you why housing justice today is critically important. And please, if you could just start by introducing yourself.
Yeah, my name is MTS Poppet. I live in kind of the east-west crux of Vancouver near City Hall. I live in an older apartment building, which is affordable. My partner and I live there right now. And there's been this movement by the city and the province to develop around transit hubs. And there's been advocacy of building big towers and tearing down older apartment buildings, which really scares my partner and myself because, you know, we're fear of being displaced. Now, the city and the province have got this plan that they say that, you know, if you're displaced, you will get a promise of being able to come back and pay the same rent when the new building is built. But where do we go in the meantime? You know, and we're getting older. You know, we have everything worked out in terms of getting to work and transit and everything else. You know, and that means we'll be forced to live far away from work. And what's affordable? So that really scares me that there is this thing, even for people who are sort of, you know, middle-income, private, or, like, not even social housing. But social housing also has been disrupted by this plan.
When you hear the term non-market housing solutions, how does that speak to some of the realities you're talking about?
Well, I mean, that makes sense. But we're in market housing, and I think we're lucky because my partner and I can share the rent. But not everybody's so lucky. So people who are low-income, they have to survive on so-called social housing. Right, what some people call social housing, but it's really not subsidized social housing. So we do need, you know, that, but we also need affordable housing, mm-hmm. and also we don't need this massive development that's going to displace people. We have housing, these older apartment buildings, and now there's this fear that, you know, older people are going to be, or even younger, whoever is going to be displaced because of development.
Yeah, and these towers are sort of often pushed with this narrative that there'll be, you know, some units put aside for, you know, lower income or you know, etc. But often that doesn't end up happening.
Well, no, I mean, these are all kind of promises made and things like that. But for me, yeah. Right, when they turn down my building, I get evicted. Where am I going to go? Do I have to wait for a few years to do that new building for the same price? I'm 61 now, you know. It doesn't make sense that my mental health and my financial health, my everything is at jeopardy. That we're getting displaced because the city and the province wants to develop my neighborhood.
Last point. There's actual decisions that are made that lead to the situation you're describing, right? And I think often it's sort of presented as if it's just sort of like magically happening that these developments happen, but there are policy decisions that lead to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's lacking is that there's no place for us to go. If you can promise us a place to go after that thing's built, you have to give us a place to go now. That's not there.
Today in 2024, the housing crisis is, you know, at this, like, volume that's extreme. Maybe you could just introduce yourself and share a bit about why housing justice movements are important to you and if you have any reflections about that.
No problem. So my name is Lena. I was born in the Lower Mainland.